As many of you will know, last week we began a new series in Galatians, and Eric brought us an introduction to that. And this morning I've got the task of going through the first 10 verses. At the outset, I want to say that I really doubt we'll get through all 10 verses this morning. I think we're probably going to get to verse about 6 or 7. So please don't feel shortchanged if we don't get to the end. I'm going to do a brief recap, start with a bit of a recap on some of the stuff that Eric brought, because I think it's actually going to be quite helpful for us to go over that again this morning. So the book of Galatians is a letter that was written by the Apostle Paul to the churches of Galatia. And as we discussed last week, that was the most likely to be the southern area of Galatia, the people there. Now, it's actually quite important to know some of this stuff when you're getting into the Word of God. Because, you see, if imagine for a moment that I was in correspondence with you, we was writing letters to one another, and you'd sent me a letter telling me all about the things that are going on here in Rugeley and some of the difficulties you're facing and some of the challenges that you've got and some of the exciting things that are going on. So you could send me something about Rugeley Food Bank and the hope to move into a better facility than the one we're in right now that's going to serve you better, and some of the challenges that we've even heard this morning. And then I could read that and I could write a letter back to you explaining or just wanting to speak truth into these situations and encourage you and build you up and share something of whatever little wisdom I might have that would encourage you and help you. But I probably wouldn't go through all the things that you've said to me. I wouldn't write, for the food bank, I think you should do this. Or for the building project, I think you should do A, B, and C. It doesn't work like that when you're writing letters. So you tend to be a bit more general because the people you're writing to would have known exactly what I was talking about when I wrote it. And this is the problem we have with understanding a lot of what the Bible has in it. There were specific books written to a specific people for a specific time, and they have a very specific context. And this means that if 2,000 years later somebody picked up the letter that I'd written to you, they would be wondering what on earth I was talking about. And one of the roles that we have when we come to the Bible is trying to understand some of those things so that we can actually understand what's really being said. The danger is if we don't do this work, we could quite easily misunderstand the things that are written there, take them out of context, and we're believing things that perhaps aren't true. And that's largely what the preaching team, this is what we have to do when we get into the Word of God and we want to bring the Word to you on a Sunday. But I would also encourage you that actually go through some of these steps, asking some of the right questions, like who is it written to? What is he actually talking about? Asking those sorts of questions as you go through the Bible is really, really helpful in your own study of the Word of God. Now, so this morning, we're going to sort of begin from verse 1. We're going to go through probably the first 6 or 7 verses. And as we start to unpack that, hopefully from the context, God's really going to speak to us in the situation that we find ourselves in this morning. And that's really what it's about. It's not just about a theological understanding of what the Bible says, but it's really hearing what God is saying to us through that right here and right now. And actually, these first few verses of Galatians, kind of, this is the very core of what Paul is saying here. It's about knowing the truth and guarding the truth. So this is kind of the direction that I'm going to be going this morning. So I'm going to read through the first 10 verses, and then we'll start going through it step by step. Paul, an apostle, not sent from men, nor by man, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father, who raised him from the dead, and all the brothers who are with me, to the churches in Galatia. Grace and peace to you from our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself our sins to rescue us from this present evil age, according to the will of our God and Father, to whom be glory for ever and ever. Amen. I am astonished that you are so quickly deserting the one who calls you by the grace of Christ and are turning to a different gospel, which is really no gospel at all. Evidently, some people are throwing you into confusion and are trying to prevent the gospel of Christ, or pervert the gospel of Christ. But even if we or an angel from heaven should preach a gospel other than the one we preach to you, let him be eternally condemned. As we have already said, so I say again, if anybody is preaching to you a gospel other than the one accepted, let him be eternally condemned. And now we are am I now trying to win approval of men or of God, or am I trying to please man? If I were still trying to please men, I would not be a servant of Christ. But the first thing you probably notice about those verses is they seem very harsh. Paul gets straight in to kind of to the point that he wants. Now, this is very, very unusual for Paul. If you read his other letters, you find that actually Paul does quite a long greeting where he greets people personally and individually, and he speaks of the blessing of God on the church, praying for them, and he wants to bless them and encourage them. And it's apparently missing from this letter. And I don't think it's because Paul doesn't feel any of those things for the church, but it's because there's a real urgency and importance about the things that he's writing to this church. So verse 1, it seems that Paul is really at pains to demonstrate to the church of Galatia the authority that has been given him. You see, he's an apostle not because men have appointed him to be an apostle, but because he was called by God. Now, the New Testament, the word apostle has different uses and different meanings. So there's a general sense of one who is called out, one who is sent. And it could be used actually of all Christians. So by virtue of the fact that we're sent out by the Great Commission to make disciples, we are all apostles of Jesus. We are all sent out ones, all called ones. And that really applies to Paul, but that's not the exact sense that he's meaning this morning in this chapter. There's also a sense of someone who lays strong foundations within a church, who has a special calling to lay a foundation within the church of doctrine and right practice. Very often, church planters have an apostolic calling and gifting to do this. There are men, a little bit like Jeremy Simpkins, who leads the now Christ Central region. He has an apostolic calling to lay foundations in churches and keep churches on track and have an oversight and authority over the churches because of the relationship the churches like us have with him and his team. And again, Paul could really, that could really apply to Paul, because that's the situation he's in right there in Galatia. He's got that relationship and that authority, but that's not primarily what he means in this. What he's talking about is the third sense, and that is the apostles who were the 12, the ones who had seen the risen Jesus Christ and had been personally commissioned by him. And this is the highest kind of authority that men can receive. And it was very specific to those guys in the New Testament, and only applies to them. And it's quite important that he's stressing that this is part of his calling, because actually the gospel he preached to them has a foundation on the authority that's been given to him. If anybody comes in and preaches something, you have to look at them and say, by what authority are they preaching that? Is the authority they're preaching on their worldview, what they believe or what they feel, or are they really called by God to preach that? And he wants to make it absolutely clear to the people he's writing to that the gospel he preached isn't some worldly wisdom, isn't something he's dreamt up, but it was something he received personally from Jesus to share with them. And therefore, it is absolute truth, and it is vitally important to their life and vitality as a church. And as we move into the third verse, we see that Paul now moves on to explaining the authority of the gospel that he preached. So it's, grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins to deliver us from the present evil age, according to the will of our God and Father, to whom glory forever and ever. Amen. Now this is one of the more simple statements of the gospel in the Bible. This sums up in a nutshell what the gospel of Jesus Christ is all about. And even his little introduction, grace and peace to you here, is loaded with significance. Because to start off by saying to them, grace and peace, well, the grace of God is the unmerited favour of God. So he's saying to the Galatian church that you have received grace. You did not deserve it. You had not earned it. Given to you as a free gift. Right? This is the highest truth that I can give you, that you have received without deserving it. You've not earned it. And you need to know that. And peace. Peace is the all-transcending peace of God, the peace that goes beyond all understanding. That in every trial, every difficulty, every situation, you have a security that you are rooted in Christ Jesus because of his grace. It's loaded with significance because actually this is the error that has been coming into the church. We'll find out about that a little bit later on. But he wants to establish a firm foundation on which to build the rest of his argument that's going to be uncovered as we go through this letter later on. So he's really establishing again the gospel that he's received. That Jesus died for their sins. That they could do absolutely nothing about it. That by his grace, he lived a perfect and sinless life. He set the perfect example. He took their sins upon him, died on a cross, took the punishment they deserved, took all their shame, and paid that price, and he was raised from the dead, and because they are now raised with him, they have eternal security, they have peace that no matter what happens, they cannot be crushed. No matter what happens, they cannot be defeated. If they get knocked back down, by the grace of God, they have the power to get back up again and stand firm in the face of adversity. And Paul is stressing that this is vitally important to their life as a church, and that anything apart from this is going to derail the plans and purposes of God for their lives. So now we move on to verse 6. And verse 6 says, I am astonished that you are so quickly deserting him who called you in the grace of Christ and are turning to a different gospel. Now, the question here is, are there different gospels? Well, it would appear that somebody has come into the church of Galatia and they're preaching a different gospel. And because they're believing something different, they're being led astray and they're moving out of the plans and purposes of God. Now, we don't necessarily have people coming into our church and bringing in heresy and false beliefs. As a people, we are constantly under attack from different gospels, from different quarters. Every time you turn on the TV and you see, buy this miraculous product and it's going to make you look 20 years younger, it's going to fill you with vitality and you're going to be happy ever after, right? That is a gospel that is being preached to you. And some people buy into this marketing gospel. The problem is, the people who market things, they don't ever want you to be satisfied and fulfilled because then you'd stop buying the product, right? So it's a gospel that's going to ultimately let you down, and it's going to fail you and leave you feeling disappointed and bitter about the whole experience. There's lots of different gospels. There's the parenting gospel. It's if you're a parent, you will have probably read quite a few books on parenting. Lots of different philosophies. If you do this, your child will be like this. Or if you do this, your child will be like this. You need routine. You've got to make sure if your child cries, you cannot feed them because you can't. They need routine. They need to feed every 3 hours. Anything more, anything less is just going to fail your child. And you're sort of in bondage to this gospel. Or there's the one that you need to feed on demand. Every time your child cries, you need to feed them. It doesn't matter that they might be in pain or something. You need to try and feed them anyway. You see, we have these different gospels that kind of that say, this is truth, and if you do it, your life will be better. Right? The thing is, this book has answers for lots of things. And it's full of wisdom. You see, we can get our truth from the Bible, or we can get our truth from world views, world perspectives, people who don't know God, people who have never even considered the wisdom of God. And this is what's really at stake here for the Galatians. You see, these people have come into the church and they're preaching a gospel of legalism. They're preaching that you need to follow rules and regulations to be right with God. You need to do the sorts of things that we did in the Old Testament. You need to be circumcised. You need to follow religious feasts and festivals and all those things to be right with God. And Paul says, no. You don't do that. The gospel of grace is that you're right with God because he has made you right, not because of the things you do. You see, and if you obey laws and rules, for every new law and rule you give yourself, there's just one more that you're going to break. And you know that you're going to break it. Because actually, we're not that good at following rules and regulations. And the problem is, when you do break it, you're just going to feel guilty, you're going to feel ashamed, you're going to feel condemned. Oh, I can't believe it, I did it again. It's every time. And it's a vicious circle of feeling more guilt, more shame, more bitterness, more anger, and then trying again to follow the same rules that failed last time. Right? That's not the gospel. The gospel is that because of Jesus' death and resurrection, God loves us and accepts us. Right? So, Ephesians 4 says this. Let us know the truth, so that, as Ephesians 4 says, we will no longer be infants tossed back and forth by the waves and blown in here and there by every wind of teaching. You see, we need to get into the Bible. We need to know the truth. We need to know the truth because actually the truth is a firm rock, a solid foundation to build our lives upon. Right? If we don't build it on this book, if we don't build it on the Word of God, then we'll be tossed and blown, we will be ricketed around by life and every situation that we face, because every time something doesn't go right, we'll blame ourselves, we'll feel guilty, or we'll become proud and arrogant because we'll think life is going great. And then when it all crumbles beneath us, we've got nothing left to stand on. So this is really important stuff. And it appears I've got a little bit of ahead of myself, because I've already explained to you verse 7. Which says, not that there is another gospel, but there are some who trouble you and want to distort the gospel of truth. So that's just me getting a little bit confused. But the truth is, only the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. That's Romans 1:16. And as I said, this is really, really serious and has massive implications for our life and the way we live. So then the question is, what are we actually going to do about this morning? It would be quite easy for me to stand here and give you a whole load of new rules and regulations that I think you should follow to live in the grace of God. That's not really going to work, is it? Because that's not the grace of God. So this is actually quite difficult. And actually, personally, I find this very difficult to get my head around. This is something that has really been challenging me. And as I've been going through these scriptures and going through this, actually finding how does this work in real life? How does this work on the ground? This has been a real challenge for me, because I'm very good at getting into the Word of God and knowing the truth. I enjoy that. I'm passionate about it. I love it. I find it exciting to go through commentaries and Bible dictionaries and looking at words and things like that. It's a bit sad, I know, but that's just me. I'm a bit of a geek when it comes to stuff like that. But when it comes to putting it into practice and living the real life, I find it quite difficult to translate it into what everyday life should look like. So I'm going to give you a start off with just a very quick example. The American Banking Association, right? When they train their cash tellers, they have to go through a process of learning how to recognize fake banknotes. And there's a guy on this course, and every day he's been given banknotes to sort through, and he's not found a single fake one. Every one is the real stuff. And he's examining it and looking at it and going through it and smelling it and holding it up to the light to see the watermarks and really getting in close to the detail. And after a few weeks of this, he says to the guy, who's training, he says, "When are you going to give me the fake stuff? When are you giving me the stuff that's not real?" And the guy who's training says, "Look, by the time you've finished examining the real stuff, and it's you're so close to it and so familiar with it, the moment something fake comes into your hands, you will know it a mile off. Right? Just the touch of it, you will know that it's not the real thing." And I think that's something to be with the Word of God. We need to be so into the Word of God and are so familiar with it that the moment something fake comes in, we will know that it's fake. There are lots of preachers out there. If you watch God TV, there are lots of different gospels on offer on God TV. There are lots of different preachers on the internet that are preaching lots of different gospels. And actually, we really need to have a discernment about some of the stuff they say. Some of it is very good. And some of it you can say, amen to that, I agree with it. But actually, if we don't know the Word of God, some of the other stuff that's not quite so good, some of it's a bit more corrosive, a bit more dangerous, we're going to accept that and end up going down roads that we really shouldn't go down, roads that God does not want us to go down. So this morning, where are we going to start? Well, I think the best place to start is right where you're at. See, a gospel of grace is about, it isn't about finding more things to do for God or doing things differently for God or trying to find something else, but it's actually about giving where we are right now and what we're doing right now over to Him so that He can redeem it, so that He can sanctify it, He can make it holy to Him, and He can make us holy in that process. So the question is this morning, what responsibilities do you have? You see, if you're parents, you have a responsibility towards your children. If you're a businessman, then you may run or own a company, and you have responsibilities over that company. If you're a teacher, you have responsibility over the children that have been given into your care. In all areas and walks of life, we find that we have responsibility. Now, the question is, where are we getting truth from to help us live out that responsibility in the way that God wants us to live? Where is that truth coming from? Are we going to worldly business models? Are we going to worldly parenting philosophies? Are we going to pop psychology to how to understand children? Or are we going to the Word of God, and are we seeking for ourselves the truth of God, the truth that God is going to speak into those situations and help us to be transformed more like Christ and be the people that He wants us to be in those situations? See, that's what's at stake here. If we fail to get into the Word of God, if we fail to grapple with the truth and hear God on His own terms, then we become irrelevant to the world around us, because all we're doing is speaking the same rubbish that the rest of the world is speaking. But what we have is a radical gospel. We have a gospel that promotes love and peace over bitterness and anger and revenge. There's the gospel of blame and claim. Right? This is something that I've been wrestling with quite a lot recently, just because I got knocked off my bike. And I went through the process. I initially contacted the insurance company and said, "Look, your person knocked me off my bike. Can we discuss kind of a settlement here?" No, you need to go to one of these claim blame solicitors. So I went through them. And it's getting more and more and more ridiculous. And actually, I can feel the foundation of the principles that I stand on being eroded by this whole process. And I'm coming to a point where I think, actually, I'm probably going to have to drop this, because I feel like I'm losing integrity in the situation that I'm in right now. So the world would say, no, you got knocked off. It's your right. It's your right to keep fighting for that. You have rights. But the gospel says Jesus laid down His rights for us. And if we're to pick up our cross and follow Him, we should lay down our rights for the truth. And the truth is that if I carry on going down this route, I'm going to feel more and more bitter about the process. I'm actually going to be losing spiritual ground in this process, the best thing I can do is lay down my rights and think, the money's not worth it. It's not, because of what I've got to compromise to get there. That's the reality of the situation I'm in right now. And this is the truth and the gospel at work in my life. This is what God has been challenging me with. And I'm certain that if you look at the lives and your situations, you will find areas where God is challenging you to know the truth and reject the lies. So that's what I want to leave you with this morning. In a moment, I'm going to pray. But there is a handout for growth groups, and I'm hoping that actually you will commit to going to your growth group this morning. This is what I'm hoping as a response from you, that actually you're going to go to your growth groups, and you're going to talk about how this stuff interacts with your life. You're going to go there and talk about, what areas of my life do I need to know the truth of God? What areas of my life do I need guidance from God in, so that I can be the person that God wants me to be? What areas of my life do I need support from Christian brothers and sisters to speak truth and love and life into my life, so that I can live in a way that is holy, live in a way that is righteous, live in a way that actually I have the greatest freedom? A verse later on in Galatians says, it was for freedom that Christ has set you free. Right? We have this amazing gospel, we have this amazing truth that offers us freedom from bitterness, from anger, from hatred, from revenge. We have this amazing gospel that offers us freedom. How then can we accept worldly wisdom that is in bondage that has set us free? So, Lord Jesus, I want to thank you that you're a God of grace. Lord, I want to thank you that you are a God of mercy. Lord, I want to thank you that it is not by our own efforts, it's not by our own will and volition that we are saved, Lord, but it's by your grace, it's by the sacrifice that you made, it's because you laid down your rights, you laid down everything for us. Father God, I want to thank you that you are a great and amazing God. I want to thank you that we have hope in you. Lord, I want to thank you that we have security. I want to thank you that your truth changes our lives. I want to thank you that your truth impacts us in deep and meaningful ways. It changes our lives for the good. Lord, I want to thank you that it sets us free. Lord, I want to thank you that it offers us a freedom that no one can offer us. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen.